Hope everyone's doing well and had a wonderful day. Let's get ready for service this evening. So we get ready to start. I'm just going to ask y'all if you will. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer. There are a lot of prayer requests still going forward. A lot of people sick. And so we're going to go ahead tonight, if you feel like standing, take a spoken prayer request. Anyone on my right side with a spoken prayer request? Yes, Miss Susan. Anyone else on my right side with a spoken prayer request? Anyone on the left or back in the box? Okay. And I don't even like to use the word, but that sickness going around, I think the plane's cutting. Got 13 out with it, one location. Not her branch, but in West Virginia. We had four scattered out through the last 3 weeks. So, and the Lord's, but everybody on our end seems going through. We just want to lift them up, and there are a lot of situations. A lot of people recovering, a lot of people waiting on answers on procedures, those that are just asking God just to touch their bodies, and also their family situations that I'm aware of. I was going to say unspoken. Anyone else with unspoken prayer requests, just show by raising your hand. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we just praise you. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity we have to gather in your house and in your name. Lord, as we come together, Lord, may we be in one mind and one accord, Lord, ready to receive your word. Lord, ready to praise you, Lord, ready to humbly come before you. Lord, as we pray together now, Lord, we're going to take this time, Lord, just to lift up each and every prayer request that's gone forth, those spoken and unspoken. Lord, those that are battling cancer, dear Lord, those that are sick and shut in right now, dear Lord, those that aren't able to be with us for whatever reason. But, dear Lord, you know the needs of each and every situation, you know the needs of our heart. Lord, for those watching online, dear Lord, for their prayer request, dear Lord, we're lifting them up to you also. But, you know, our Lord, we know that you know greater than we do and that you will take charge of each and every situation when we release it to you. Lord, may we give you our daily lives, dear Lord, our walk, our everything that we are, dear Lord, that we just place it into your mighty hands. Lord, we're going to walk by faith. Lord, we're expecting, dear Lord, great and mighty works in your hands, dear Lord. We ask now that you'll bless our pastor and his family, strengthen them. Bless each and every ministry, the young people outside in the other building, the little ones as they're going through their classes tonight, dear Lord. And we just praise you, dear Lord, for your word. And we thank you in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Y'all are a little quiet this evening. We just want to praise the Lord. I want to ask you to turn to page 177. I need y'all's help with this one. I love this song. Are you washed in the blood? Jesus for the cleansing fire. Are you washed in the blood of a lamb? Are you fully trusting in his grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? When the bridegroom cometh, will your robes be white, pure and white in the blood of the Lamb? Will your soul be ready for the mansion?
washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood? In the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Lay aside the garments that are stained with sin and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Amen. Are you washed in the blood? In the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb. Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood? In the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb. Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Amen. Praise God. Y'all may be seated if you can. As we sing that song so many times, especially at that last verse, about that fountain that's never ending. And as Jesus was saying to the woman at the well, that if you drink this water, you'll never thirst again. It's the same as His love for us. And at the end, I just want to all those that are out there that haven't committed their life to God, I want to put in the words, so be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Go ahead and let the Lord just touch and just change your life forever. Give you that joy and peace that no other way where you're going to find it. Praise God, praise God. We're going to go ahead and take up the evening offering as we get ready. And I don't have any announcements pending. All righty. Thank you, Brother Bitsy. Yes. He'd ask us to. Amen.
On the Sea of Galilee, a storm prevailed, but the Lord arose and said, peace be still, and it happened just like He said. Then those round about said, what sort of man rebukes the elements? And they understand that it happened just like He said. It happened like He said as He cleansed. leper and he raised the dead. Fed the 5,000 with 5 loaves of bread. Then he said, greater things than this shall you do, for I go to make intercession for you, and it'll happen just like he said. Blind Bartimaeus cried out by the road. Jesus said, your faith has made you whole, and it happened just like he said. Jesus said, what do you want from me? Bartimaeus cried, Lord, that I might see, and it happened just like he said. It happened like he said, as he cleansed the leper and he raised the dead, fed the 5,000 with 5 loaves of bread. Then he said, greater things than this shall you do, for I go to make intercession for you, and it happened just like he said. Jesus said, surely I must go away, but if I go, I'm coming back someday, and it'll happen just like he said. I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you can be too, and it'll happen just like he said. It happened like he said, as he cleansed the leper and he raised the dead, fed the 5,000 with 5 loaves of bread. Then he said, greater things than this shall you do, for I go to make intercession for you, and it'll happen just like he said.
Unless someone would like to sing tonight, we don't have as many singers here. Basie, you got your song? Okay. Is that a yes or a no? No? Okay. I'm not putting you on the spot in front of all these people, but praise the Lord. Let's all stand. We're going to sing another congregational. Can we do Redeem? Seven. I know y'all know this song. But y'all, you know it's a victory song in itself. Sweet is the song I'm singing today. I'm redeemed. Amen. Sweet is the song I'm singing today. I'm redeemed. I'm redeemed. Trouble and sorrow have vanished away. I have been redeemed. Oh, I'm redeemed.
I'm redeemed.
I love divine.
I love divine.
Glory, glory.
Christ is mine.
Christ is mine.
All to Him.
I now reside.
I now reside.
I have been redeemed. Great is my joy. Now onward I go. I'm redeemed. I'm redeemed. All the way homeward my praise shall flow. I have been redeemed. Amen. Oh, I'm redeemed.
I'm redeemed.
By love divine.
By love divine.
Glory, glory.
Christ is mine.
All to him.
I now reside.
I have been redeemed. Oh, I'm redeemed.
By love's grace.
I'm redeemed. I was going to look at it. Happy and glory someday shall be. I have been redeemed. Glory, Christ is mine.
All to Him.
I now reside. I have been redeemed. Oh, I'm redeemed.
I'm redeemed.
My love divine.
My love divine.
Glory, glory,
Christ is mine.
Christ is mine. All to Him. I now reside. I have been redeemed. Amen. Y'all sound like you're ready for a service tonight. Just praise God. We're going to go ahead and turn over to Brother Eddie unless Miss Penny has a song. We'll turn it over to Brother Eddie. Just really thank y'all. Y'all see me, I start praising and I jump verses and try to do the chorus again. Praise the Lord. Brother Eddie.
Praise the Lord, I've been redeemed. How about you?
Amen. Man,
of all the things that I could claim, of all the things that I could acknowledge, that is singly the most important thing in my life. I've been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. And when you know that, really nothing else really matters, because God says, seek first the kingdom of God, His righteousness, and He would add those other things to us as we have need of. Amen. It's just good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to know that we're born again and on our way to heaven. But you know, even as we walk down here, we still need that constant attention and that constant abode of a loving Savior. And as we often say, that Savior will never leave us nor forsake us. And that's evidenced in page number 52, Jesus, Hold My Hand. I've been thinking about that song today. And I know it's a congregational, but if you could pull it up there on a monitor, that'd be great. As I travel through this pilgrim land, there is a friend who walks with me. Leads me safely through the sinking sand. It is the Christ of Calvary. This would be my prayer, dear Lord, each day to help me do the best that I can. For I need thy light to guide me day and night. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Jesus, hold my hand. I need thee every hour. Through this pilgrim land, protect me by thy power. When I kneel in prayer, I know I'll meet you there. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Let me travel in the light divine that I may see the blessed way. And keep me that I may be holy, thine, sing redemption song someday. A soldier brave and true, and ever firmly take a stand. As I onward go, daily meet the foe. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Jesus, hold my hand. What I need thee every hour. Protect me by thy side. Hear my people plea. Oh Lord, look down on me when I kneel in prayer. I hope to meet you there. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Now when I wander through the valley dim toward the setting of the sun, just lead me safely to that land of rest, if I have crown of life that won. I have put my faith in thee, dear Lord, that I may reach that golden strand. There's no other friend whom I can depend. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Hold my hand, Lord, I need thee every hour. Through this pilgrim's land, protect me by thy side. Hear my people plead, oh Lord, look down on me. And when I kneel in prayer, I know
I'll meet you there, blessing Jesus, hold my hand. And when I kneel in prayer, I know I'll meet you there, blessing Jesus, hold my hand. Oh, he will too. Amen. He will hold our hand. I mean, he's glad you're on the side of the Lord. Or maybe how many is glad he's on our side. Amen. God is so good. He's so gracious. And we just love him. Appreciate you being here tonight on a Wednesday night. Pump day. Man, the week's half gone. Now, the month is almost gone. The year is coming close to an end. My, how time does fly. But even having said all of that, you know, we don't even have the promise of tomorrow. Man, it's how we are today with the Lord. And hopefully that people are concerned enough to make preparation, amen, to accept Jesus Christ while his spirit is still reaching out, to have him come in and take up his abode and live and in our life, because all of the goodness that we do is not sufficient. All the many things that we may contribute and do is not sufficient if we haven't been born again and haven't had the blood of Jesus Christ applied to our sins. And having said that tonight, I want to take us again to the book of Psalm, another writing of the psalmist David. If anybody knew the importance of prayer, many did, many have, and many still. And I hope we today recognize the importance of prayer. Prayer is a vital part of a Christian walk with the Lord. Yes, it's wonderful to be saved. Yes, it's good to know that our name is written on the Lamb's Book of Life. But if we just kind of sail through life without ever communicating with the Lord, without ever asking his guidance and seeking the Lord, then we're missing out on many, many great opportunities to have that communication with the Lord. And David realized that, and I believe David was a man who prayed daily, probably many times a day. We know he prayed and asked the Lord's guidance and help whenever he was in a battle. He did that from a very young age, even up until his dying days, he was dependent on God. So he knew how to write about prayer. And we're going to the 34th chapter tonight. We're going to begin with verse number 15. Thank you for standing for the reading of God's word tonight. The psalmist says in verse 15 of the 34th chapter of the book of Psalms, "The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth." Verse 17, "The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles." Can we pray? Heavenly Father, what an honor, what a privilege, God, to come to your house to worship tonight. Thank you for those who've gathered here tonight. And Father, I pray your blessing. I pray your anointing out upon each and every one of us tonight. Help us to be in one mind and one accord, receptive, submissive, and obedient to your word and to your will. Father, we do pray that you would reach out to the many who are sick tonight. Some are afflicted, God, some are facing situations in their life. And Father, we know that you're aware of each and every need tonight. And by faith, we place them into your hands, asking you, God, to make a way in their lives, heal, anoint, strengthen, and make whole. Father, I ask, God, that you would continue to have mercy on the unsaved tonight. God, prick their hearts, bring them to an altar of repentance. God, save their soul before it's everlasting too late. Father, I ask for your guidance tonight. I ask that you'll anoint this vessel, anoint these lips of clay. God, just speak to us that you'd have us to hear. And we'll love you, and we'll thank you, and we'll praise you. In Jesus' name we ask, amen. God bless you. You may be seated in the house of the Lord tonight. Love the writings of David, as I said. This one in particular, and we've made reference to it many, many times. There's so much material in the 34th chapter of Psalms. In fact, all of the Psalms are just wonderful. They're reassuring. They're full of blessings. They're full of promises. But this one means a whole lot to me, and because it puts it kind of on an individual basis. And
If I had a message title or a topic tonight, it would simply be, When the Righteous Cry. Righteous Cry. Now that's a term that David used here in the Psalm. And he talked about that the Lord hears the righteous when he cries. Now we've often said that we can be anywhere, involved in anything, and God is not too busy to hear our prayers. David talks about a very specific communication between God and his people, especially those who are referred to as righteous. He tells us that his eyes, the Lord's eyes, are on the righteous and his ears are open. That means that he is attentive. Now, if you are a parent and you are in a particular place where there's a lot of people around, a lot of crowds, a lot of things, maybe it's traffic or whatever, you're very attentive to your children and to your grandchildren. Sometimes they don't realize how much you're being looking and watching at them, but you're protecting them and you're there, and as soon as they cry out, you're going to be there because you're already watching them and you're already listening for them in anticipation if something might happen or they might fall or God forbid they get lost in the crowd. And that little children, sometimes they don't want you holding their hand, but those are times when you reach down sometimes and you say, yeah, I'm going to hold your hand through this situation. Well, if you magnify that time, I don't know the number, a bunch, that's how attentive God is to the righteous, to his children, to you and me, to those who've been born again and filled with the Spirit of the Lord. The Lord is attentive. His eyes are open and his ears are not deaf. They're not stopped up. Ears are open to our needs and to our situation. And it says the righteous cry. Basically, when the righteous cry, it's not really it's not really a whiny cry. How many can identify with a whiny cry? Sometimes whiny cries don't get the attention as a serious, earth-shaking cry sometimes. Because sometimes a whiny cry is filled with maybe selfishness or me or kind of pitiful me, that type of thing. But I believe that David was describing a very different type of cry. And I don't necessarily think it was one where you're bawling or squalling. And I have prayed prayers where I've been bawling and squalling, because that was the emotion at the particular time. I'll be very honest with you. I prayed prayers where I was just joyously laughing because of the joy within me. God is apparently listening to both prayers. But it has not, I don't think it really has to do with the tears that are flowing or necessarily the outward emotion, but I think it has everything to do with the faith that we are coming before the presence of God. First of all, I consider it an honor and a privilege anytime that I can bow my knee, raise my hand, close my eyes, whatever situation that may arise, and pray and seek God and communicate with the Lord. Because I find that I need that on a daily basis. Amen. And I'm so thankful that he's always attentive. But I begin to think about the term righteous. It says the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. Well, you know, we constantly say he's watching out for all of us. And he does. We know that. He listens and he hears the prayers of many. Thank God he heard my prayer when I was a sinner. Amen. Aren't you glad that he did? You know, but when I was a sinner, I was coming to the Lord Jesus Christ because of a convicting spirit, because of a self-awareness that I was lost and I was undone. And I needed salvation. And I needed redemption. And I needed the infilling of his spirit. And all of those things constitute, basically, what David here is describing as a righteous cry. Now, I want to stop for just a moment. And if any of you know and have read anything about the life of David, David was not always a holy man. David was human. On many occasions, David sinned. On many occasions, David was disobedient. But one thing David knew that was very, very important, whenever he had sinned, whenever he had failed God, he got it right with God. He came with a broken and contrite spirit and a repentive heart, and he said, Father, forgive me. forgive me. Lord, I messed up, or whatever the case may be. We're paraphrasing now, but David knew how to repent, and he knew the importance of getting the attention of God. And I was thinking about the term righteous. And I want you to understand, it has nothing to do about our goodness. It has nothing to do about what our name is, what our background is, where we have our church role or whatever, or whether our name is on the roll book or not. It has nothing to do with that, but it has everything to do with the Spirit of God. Because the Bible plainly tells us, as I read it, that our righteousness is as filthy rags, meaning they're worthless. That is not going to get you anywhere with God. That's certainly not going to get you into the kingdom of God. But realizing that we are unrighteous, realizing that we are lost, realizing that we are destitute without the Spirit and the love and the grace and the mercy of Almighty God, puts us in a position to say, Lord, come into my life. Lord, I want to be used by you, and I want to walk in your footsteps, and I want to walk in your precepts and your statutes. And therefore, in doing those things which are obedient unto God, that he simply asks us to do after he fills us with his Spirit, constitutes basically the way that we approach God in our prayer. One thing that we all need to understand and realize, that when we approach God in prayer, we need to approach him in full faith, believing what we're asking for, believing the miracle, not really needing to see the evidence. If we see the evidence, then we don't need the faith to believe it. But faith and praying and seeking God and asking God to deliver, to heal, to anoint, to open a door, to make a way, and calling it done, glorifying and praising the Lord, thanking him ever before we see any of the evidence. I think that goes hand in hand with what David was talking about as the righteous cry. I kind of feel like there were times when David prayed. Now, whether this was the actual case or not, I don't know. I'm just kind of giving a little Eddie opinion. But he was human. I kind of feel like there was times when David prayed and he probably felt like, God, you're not even listening. You're not hearing. And I will assure you, it wasn't the reason that God's eyes weren't open. It wasn't the reason that God's ears were stopped up. It was for the very reason that David was not feeling very righteous. Not feeling really, really close to God. Maybe there was something in his life. Maybe there was something in the day that had happened and caused his mind to vary from the faith that he needed. And maybe he felt like the first thing he needed to do was, Lord, I need to pray, Lord, that my life would get right so that I can come before you, Lord, with faith and pray a righteous cry unto the Lord. Going back to the children, I will assure you, when they cry, you know the difference between a whiny cry and a cry that needs some attention. Amen? Sometimes it's a whiny cry and you say, get on away from me. You know, I'm tired of hearing your whiny cry. But if that's a cry of desperation, if that's a cry of, I know if I can get mama's attention, I know if I can get daddy's attention, they're going to help me in this situation. Maybe it's an emergency. Maybe it's a hurt. Maybe it's an accident they had. But I will assure you, you know the difference. Rather than a poor, pitiful me crying. David realized that. There's times that he said, you know what? I got to get in earnest expectation prayer before God. God will move because he hears the prayers of the righteous when they cry. So basically, I begin to look and, Lord, exactly what constitutes or signifies a righteous cry? Well, it's not one for show, that's for sure. It's not one that we try to impress God. How do you impress God? I mean, you're talking about the creator of heaven and earth. You're talking about the one who spoke the world into existence. You're talking about the one who let the light shine. You're talking about one who formed us out of the clay of the dust of the earth and breathed the breath of life into us. There's nothing we can do as mere mortals to impress God. But there are things that do constitute or qualify a righteous cry. And I believe it was important that, David put it in here, and there's many places in there talking about the earnest prayer. How is it? Of a righteous man availeth much. You know, if we think about that, it's just as easy to say, that's not a righteous cry, it ain't availing much. I know it doesn't say that, but what it does say is the earnest prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It moves God. We know from the Bible it tells us that faith moves God. We know that it tells us that God inhabits our praise. If we're not spending at least a third or maybe a half of our prayer in praise alone, we're missing out on a great opportunity. Many times at the very end, we'll thank the Lord. When that ought to be the very first thing that we do when we open in prayer. I want us to really get a hold and grasp a hold of how important and how wonderful it is and what a great privilege it is to be able to communicate with God through prayer. Prayer is the greatest weapon other than the Holy Ghost that the Lord has given us to strengthen us, to make us be able to fight the battles that empowers us against the battles that we face on a daily basis. So, Lord, you know, clear it up a little bit for me. If it has nothing to do with my goodness, if it has nothing to do with my ability, if it has nothing to do with my name on the roll book, then God, what constitutes righteous prayer? And I researched many scholars and I researched many writings and all, and I, just like anything else, there's differing opinions. My daddy used to say, opinions are like noses, son. Everybody's got one. That goes a long way. Everybody's got an opinion. But in a culmination or a accumulation of all of those things, I kind of tried to narrow it down. And this may not help you at all, but it really seemed to turn the light switch on for me. In what constitutes or signifies the righteous cry, first of all, holy. That's the one thing that I saw, being holy. Can we be holy without the Lord? I don't think so. We can strive to be holy. We can try to be holy. But again, our righteousness is not very good. It's this filthy rag. So the only thing that's really holy and righteous about me is the Spirit of the Lord that He has so graciously filled me with that I'm going to have to spend an eternity just to thank Him for it. Amen? Because I can't just thank Him in one sitting. Amen? I'm going to have to thank Him again and again and again and again for what He done for me. Picked me up out of a horrible pit. Brought me out of that terrible thing that I was in called sin, man, and filled me with His Spirit. So, holy, or being holy, how do we be holy? We have to be holy as God is holy. Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Another word and another term that I found on a couple of occasions was uncompromising. Compromising. Think about that, if you would, for a little bit. Because that's very important. We can have our name on a church roll book and still be compromising to the world. We can't do that. Can't be compromising to the world. We can live in the world. We can operate in the world. But we can't be compromising to the world. Because the world is carnal. The worldly things are carnal. The Bible says, be you separate from those things and put those things away. If you get too compromising with the world, it will assuredly affect your prayer life. It will affect when you call on God. First thing you'll think of is, well, God, you really don't have to answer my prayer because I hadn't lived too good of a life. You won't say that, but you'll have that feeling. But if you're striving and you're living and you're seeking God and you're staying in the Word and you're praying and fasting and you're humble about it, when you come to the Lord, you come with expectation. You know, we should be able to, when people come to the altar, we should not have any doubt whatsoever that God can't do what they're asking Him to do if they are believing, having faith. I'll give you another little secret. It don't take 30 minutes for God to do it either. Amen. When that mind gets right and that and you're believing, amen, you know, you receive as you do believe, and God is able to do all things, as I say all the time, exceeding abundantly above all that you and I could ever ask or think. When we come to that agreement saying, Lord, I'm here to receive, and the Lord hears that righteous cry. So we need to be uncompromising. The third one goes without saying. We need to be Spirit-filled. We need the Spirit of God living within us. Listen, before I got filled with the Holy Ghost, I could feel the Spirit of the Lord. I could feel it when I sat close to other people. I could feel it when the Lord got to moving in the church. But until I got it in me, couldn't really appreciate it, the Spirit of the Lord. Because now I know that I can feel it if I'm not even sitting in the church house. I used to, well, I'd get close to Mother. I think Brother Jim and I was talking about this other night. You know, when the Lord would begin to move and the Holy Ghost would fall, and I mean, the church was rocking and all. Sometimes I'd scoot over next to Mother because, you know, I knew that she was ready. I knew she was righteous. And especially when they started talking and reading in the book of Revelation, talking about the coming of the Lord, and, you know, they preached it like it was going to be that night, and I thought I could go as long as I could hold on to Mother until I found out I could have that same assurance. How many knows that Jesus didn't just die for our moms and dads, but he died for each and every single one of us if we are submissive and obedient? So we need to be Spirit-filled. And if we're Spirit-filled, then the fourth one is we need to be obedient and led by God's Word. This is so important, each and every one of us. And we know that we need it more than just when we open it on Wednesday and Sunday. We need a daily dose of the Word of God. You have to read it every day. You know, you can put scriptures on a little notepad. You can. My granddaddy used to tote them in his shirt pocket. He used to toast a little testament in his shirt pocket. And he did it like a one-a-day vitamin. He had to have at least a scripture one a day. And, you know, many, many times the scripture that he would give, and he'd get an opportunity to witness to somebody about that scripture, because where he worked, everybody knew that he was a minister, and many times they would approach him, and he would have that little testament, and he would have a word of encouragement to help them. So basically, we need to be holy, we need to be uncompromising, we need to be Spirit-filled, we need to be obedient, and we certainly need to be led by God's Word. The righteous prays a believing prayer. Remember that, if you would, not a begging prayer. I know we're taught to be humble, just as the Sadducee and the Pharisee was praying. He was praying, oh, look what I am. I'm glad I'm not like him. I do this and I do that. And the Sadducee, or the Pharisee, or the publican, rather, the publican just smote his chest, beat his head. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. That's humbleness, and God appreciates and acknowledges humbleness. But he also tells us, approach the prayer and approach the throne of grace and with boldness. Not boldness in ourselves, but boldness to believe that God can do, and believe he can do what we're asking him to do. We need to pray stronger prayers, church. We need to pray really, really believing prayers, not begging prayers, because God's already said he gives you the desires of his heart. He's already said the things that are impossible with man are made possible by God. He's already said, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened. He's already given us those promises. So in doing so, we need to approach the throne of grace with boldness. Lord, I love the song that Keith sings. It's me again. And you know what? God never tires of that. Satan is the one that tells you that, oh, there you are going to God with everything. That's all right. God encourages us to do that. It is such an honor and a privilege, again, as I've said time and time again tonight, to be able to come before the Lord in prayer. Listen. The righteous have faith to declare it done even before the evidence is seen. The righteous, not the good person, not the person who does all that, but the person who believes, the person who trusts God, the person who lives a holy life, the person who is uncompromising to the world, the person who is Spirit-filled and led by the Spirit of God and walking in the newness of life. All things are passed away. The righteous practice prayer on a daily basis, even when there's not a need. Sometimes we get into a habit, we only pray when we need something, or when we need healing, or when we need a door open. But you know, the righteous, they practice prayer on a daily basis. It's an honor to be able to drive down the road and still pray. I found out you don't necessarily have to have your eyes closed. Amen. And if you're on I-20, you don't need to have them closed. Amen. That's faith if you close your eyes driving on I-20. But we can still pray to the Lord. We can pray in our office. We can pray wherever we want. We can pray in the grocery store line. Wherever we gather. And that's wonderful to know that we have that access to God every single day. And the righteous, I want to read this. Well, I'm going to get that just a, I'll get to that in just a minute. The righteous approach prayer with a broken and contrite spirit. Even though that we're filled with the Spirit, even though we're saved, we still approach the Lord with a broken and contrite spirit. Lord, it's just me again. Lord, I need you. I got to have you, Lord. I can't make it without you. But I'm believing, Lord, that you're going to make a way. I believe you are the way. Again, not to try to impress God. Not to try to tell him what all we do for him. God knows. He knows what we do, and listen, he knows what we don't do. He knows everything there is about us. Okay, the righteous is also, tells us in verse number 13 and 14, what does he do? The righteous keeps his tongue from evil. Help me, Lord. You know, David realized that. Sometimes his tongue spoke evil. He said, Lord, forgive me. Lord, I don't want to be that way. The righteous also keeps his lips from speaking guile or deceit. You know, Jesus had no guile in his mouth. No deceit was ever found. And we're supposed to be Christ-like. So we need to strive to keep our lips free from guile or deceit. The righteous departs from evil. Does not try to get mixed up in it. Does not go trying to seek evil or to stir up evil. Simply departs from it. And then this kind of goes without saying. He does good, seeks, and pursues peace. Those are all attributes of the righteous. And aren't we glad that God acknowledges the righteous cry when we cry out to him? So righteousness basically comes from God's Spirit. Nothing else could qualify. The Lord knows the righteous. How do we know that he knows the righteous? If you'll turn with me and close into the book of Romans. In the 8th chapter of the book of Romans, reading verses 14 through 17. For as many as are led or filled by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. What a promising scripture that is. What a powerful scripture that is. Not because we're in anything, but because God is everything. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage, again, to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit. Has ever heard discernment? Kind of go by the, ooh, that doesn't feel right. That just, you know, God's Spirit is witness with our spirit. What does that mean? Not going to fool him. We're not going to fool him. He knows. He sees the heart. He knows us ever before the first spoken word. So when we come before the presence of God in prayer, we need to have a clear conscience and a clean and pure heart. And if it's not, go ahead and pray for forgiveness. Lord, get me straight. I know I've erred. Help me, Lord. I'm human. God understands the human aspect of our life. So much so that he sent Jesus to die for us. Because he knew that it wasn't humanly possible for us to make ourselves righteous. When you get a hold of this, you think, Lord, you know what? It's all about your spirit within us. He says that we are the children of God. His witness, or his spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Satan, do you realize that we are the children of God? Do you know who you're messing with? You're messing with the children of God. And his eyes are open and his ears are open and he's attentive to everything. And it even gets better. And if children, then heirs, and heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. You know, that tells me the promises that we have of being born again and the promises that we have of the righteousness that dwells within us. But it also alerts me and lets me know that in a body of flesh, there will be a portion of suffering. Maybe some more than others. But the Bible tells us in some no way will our suffering be able to compare with the glory that is laid up for us. Amen? Because as we talked about the other day, you know, when we get to heaven, we're not going to have any remembrance of any bad times or any situations. Amen? God hears the righteous cry. He hears you when you pray. And probably, truth be known, he wants to hear from us a little more often. Take advantage of the prayer life that you can have with God, the communication. Man, and again, it doesn't have to be our Father which in art in heaven. That's beautiful and that's wonderful. But sometimes maybe God just wants to hear the honesty and the sincerity of your heart. Pour it out to God. You know? And I tell you one thing it is, it's a purification process. It makes you feel so clean when you just lay it all out on the table. Say, God, you know it's me. You know I'm frail and sometimes I falter. Lord, I'm asking. I'm believing you, God, for this prayer. Make me stronger. Help me, God, to be more like you and to do those things that are pleasing. When the righteous cry, I will assure you, Jesus hears our prayer. May God bless you. We love you tonight so very much and appreciate you being here with us on a Wednesday night. If you would stand, we'll give you an opportunity. If you need prayer tonight, amen. How many knows that God is just as real on Wednesday nights, amen, as he is on Sundays and any time? Anyone have a prayer need tonight? If you would gather, we'll pray with you. Don't you? Evidently, we need to pray for a lot of folks in the church. A lot of folks are sick. A lot of folks are having some situations. So as we dismiss tonight, we certainly want to remember them in prayer. And they may be watching live stream tonight or whatever the situations are. But let's remember to hold them up in prayer. Pray that God will strengthen them and our communities and our schools and our workplaces too. And put a hedge of protection around us. Amen. God can do that, by the way, can't he? Brother Jim, if you would come and dismiss us with a word of prayer. May God bless you. We love each and every one of you.
Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Love his word. Love the messages that he's given each and every one of us. And that assurance that we can cry out to him, and it says in righteousness. Believing in faith. All hearts and minds clear this evening. Don't want to dismiss without anyone that needs prayer. So good to see y'all. I know we're few in numbers, but God is great in everything that we do as we come together in his name. All righty. Listen, as Brother Eddie just mentioned all the prayer needs, for those of you watching online, pray with us as we get ready to close. And let's just remember each and every one and just kind of look around, and maybe the Lord will just, someone that's either here or not here, the Lord will just place a name or a thought on your mind. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we just praise you. We thank you, dear Lord, for this opportunity you've given us to gather in your house, dear Lord, for this opportunity to hear your word. Lord, we praise you, dear Lord, we love you. Lord, we thank you for your many blessings, dear Lord, as we come to you now, as we prepare to dismiss, dear Lord, we ask for you just to keep us safe, bring us back at our appointed time, but Lord, we do want to pray for those that are in situations that need help, dear Lord, whether it be medical, physical, Lord, maybe it'd be another situation about their families or about their loved ones. But, dear Lord, we love and praise you, and we thank you again, dear Lord, for your many blessings. In Jesus' name, we all say amen. Praise the Lord. Y'all have a wonderful, wonderful evening. God.